Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Women Innovators and Trailblazers podcast. In this episode, we will be sitting down with Kate Putnam, who is an angel investor and a member of Golden Seeds. Kate is a seasoned investor and mentor to startup companies, and we will interview her and discuss how a business owner can find an investor and how it can benefit their business. So, Kate, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
We're happy that you could be here with us today.
Thank you very much.
All right, so starting off with our first question, can you just explain for like our listeners who don't know what an angel investor is and what role they play in the grand scheme of business?
Okay, well, an angel investor is somebody who comes into a business at a very early stage. Sometimes they come in before the business has revenue, but they usually come in before the business has started to really grow. So a lot of times an investor will wait until there is some revenue, because without revenue, you don't really have proof that you've got a product that somebody wants to buy. But there are certain kinds of businesses, such as pharmaceuticals, where people come in before there is revenue.
Exactly. I know with pharmaceuticals, like you mentioned, it takes several years to kind of earn back the money that you had spent into different things like research and things like that. So that's a really cool example to hear about. I know you mentioned kind of before we started recording about the different types of investing too, other than the angel investing. Would you mind talking a little bit about those if you have any experiences with those as well?
Sure. I started my career in banking, so I understand corporate lending quite well. But that's usually for companies who have an established history and who can be reasonably predicted going forward. Angel investing is not for the faint of heart, because there is no track record, and the forecast is anybody's guess as to what a business looks like. So when an angel investor invests, they're looking for a substantial return, and part of the reason they're looking for that is they know that in a portfolio, say, of 10 companies, 5 or 6 of them will go belly up without returning even the money invested. 3 or 4 will probably do okay, and it's 1 or 2 that will be very successful.
Yeah, it's a real high-risk, high-reward sort of field, it sounds.
Right. And the way angel investing, and this is, again, why angel investing is not for every business, the angel needs a liquidity event. A liquidity event is usually not an initial public offering of stock, despite the fact that we've seen Uber and Lyft and a few others do that recently. It's usually through the sale of the business to a larger company. And a lot of large companies today look at small businesses that have proved themselves as something that they can buy and then scale. I'll give as an example for people who've eaten pasta that is bunny-shaped. Annie's was acquired by General Mills because they could take Annie's, which was a regional product, and make it a national or even an international product.
Very cool.
Number 2. All right, so our second question would be, do these businesses need to meet certain criteria in order to have an investor want to invest in their company?
There has to be a belief that the company will grow rapidly and that the team is willing to sell the business and move on. Otherwise, you could be trapped in an investment for forever. So so-called lifestyle businesses, those tend to be things that are predictable and nice. Whether it's a local grocery store or a car dealer or an accounting or legal firm, those are called lifestyle businesses. They don't mean that people don't work very hard at them, but they're unlikely to sell. There is something somebody's going to run for a long period of time. And an angel investor usually has they'll tell you they have a 5 to 7 year horizon. It might be as long as 10 years. But they're looking for some kind of a triggering event that will cause them to get their investment back with a return on that investment.
So, other than what you just talked about there, are there any other like signs or things that the investors will look for as sort of like a signal that it might be a good investment to them, or does it kind of just go off of a gut feeling sort of?
I don't think it goes off of a gut feeling. It usually goes off of an independent assessment of the market for the product. You want some touch point that you can all agree upon whether it's our piece of research that shows that this market has huge potential, or is it, you know, and then a sense of this is a team that knows how to scale a business so that it could grow rapidly. So having said all of that, a lot of times this leaves out people with great ideas that don't have, won't scale hugely or might be specific to a given region. And so we are seeing more and more opportunities to invest for social impact. Social impact could be local. It could be targeted towards a minority or women as founders of businesses. It could be targeted towards something that's very helpful in an economic sense to the area in which it's located. And so we're seeing a growth in social investing. We're also seeing some growth in things that are other than equity. So there are some that are state or foundation funded funds that will invest in an instrument that is intended to be debt with a repayment schedule of the principal and a return that reflects to some extent the risk involved in lending to a business that again doesn't have a track record.
So it seems like a lot of analysis on a case-by-case basis kind of goes into this. Is there like a template, say, that you would follow, or would you just figure like and treat every single possible investment as something totally different and with a new slate, or is there a certain process that angel investors would tend to take when they're looking at them, other than of course looking at like the relevant things like the market like you mentioned or the local area like you mentioned before too?
So in general, what I'd say to you, what I look at and I invest broadly, I don't have a, there are angels that only invest in a certain area. There are people who feel this is their expertise and they will only invest in their area of core competency. Since I invest through Golden Seeds, I'm doing it with a group, and we may have somebody in the group who has the industry expertise that we rely upon. What we look at above and beyond, is this a fabulous market? We also look at, is there intellectual property involved here? Is there something that is patentable? Is there a trade secret that, you know, the way Coca-Cola has never patented their formula for making Coke, it's their trade secret. That's another alternative. Is there a first mover advantage? If this is an idea and you're creating the market to serve a much bigger market, can you create first mover advantage? So those are the kinds of things you look at. All of this is done, though, to evaluate the team. And so we're constantly looking at, is this a team that we think can do this? Maybe they need a little bit of help. Almost every team does. But is this a team that can grow and scale this business? That's a really important thing that we look at. So it comes down to, is this a good idea in a large or becoming large market, and is this a team that can actually do what they're saying they're going to do? And so a lot of the due diligence that's involved is testing the team to see if they've thought things through.
Yeah. It's really cool to hear how personally you sort of get with it, like seeing like the growth potential that there is within the people themselves, not only the ideas, which is really cool to hear about, because when you think about investing, it's always like, oh, are we the first ones there? Like, is this like the coolest, newest idea? But then you kind of forget about like, are these the right people for the jobs?
Most angel investors are looking at the team. Mm-hmm. Angels are investing their own money. They're not like a venture capital firm investing somebody else's money. This is very personal. Now, there are angels who will simply invest in a fund. It's an angel fund because it goes in early. But most of the angels that I know like to get involved in working with the companies, helping them get ready to seek funding, making sure that they've thought things through before they actually go looking for money.
Okay, so for our third question, can you just kind of take us like through how you got to where you are now and maybe a little bit about more of your personal life and like... how did you get to become an angel investor?
To me, angel investing was a logical outgrowth of what I've done. I've done in, you know, I'm older. I've been a banker. I've been in corporate treasury. I've been a consultant. I ran a business that I was a principal in for 20 years. And when I knew that that business was going to be sold, I said, what am I going to do with myself? I want to be involved actually in keeping other people from making the stupid mistakes that I made, and in helping the ones that I can along the way. So for me, more of my time is actually spent mentoring than it is spent actually investing.
That's so wonderful. What would you say are some of your like areas of expertise? How you mentioned how some angel investors like to have just one area that they're really focusing on. What are some industries or markets that you really enjoy working with?
I can't say that I would specify it by industry. My background would be financial, manufacturing. I've done stuff in healthcare, and my investments are in all of those, but I've also got one in pharmaceuticals that I know nothing about, in cybersecurity, which again, I know nothing about. So it really sort of runs the gamut. It has a lot for me to do with the team that I'm working with. There's some really fascinating ideas out there, but if the team isn't coachable to me, I don't believe that they can execute. And so it comes down to, is this a team that is like a sponge absorbing everything they possibly can and then figuring out the direction they want to go in?
Have you ever had any teams like be denied in the past and come back with a stronger like outlook on?
If you're a team and you get shut down your first time around and you don't come back, that's your choice. But I was just reading a book about startups from the startup side of things. And the guy who wrote it was talking about, he finally got his money on his 52nd pitch. So it's a fine line you walk between certifiably insane and persistent.
How do you measure your success that you find with each of your investments? Like you said, the very few big ones that really...
My investments are still fairly young, mm-hmm. So I don't expect to see any of them mature. I'd love it if they did, but I don't expect to see any of them suddenly, you know, get bought, which is the logical outcome of what is going to happen. So I measure it by, are they growing? Have they been able to, I invested in them 2 or 3 years ago. They've gone out and they've hit the metrics that they expected to hit. They've made some mistakes, but overall they've done well and they've been able to raise a second round of funding.
So like what kind of steps would you recommend to someone who wants to become an angel investor?
Somebody who wants to become an angel investor? Well, there's that lovely quote from Richard Branson, which is how to make $1 million in the airline industry. And the answer is start with a billion. There is an element of that. I find that it's very important for me to have the wisdom of crowds. I want to know that other people think the way, see the animal from a different side, so that collectively we get a sense of the whole. And so it's very important for me to be in a group and do it as a group thing. For others, that isn't always important, though. There are some people who are very confident in their understanding of their section of industry, and they will make investments in it because it makes sense to them. Since I am diversified, I like to know that there are other people who have some expertise that they're bringing to bear on it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we haven't really touched on that you would like to talk about, or anything in your experiences that you think would be an interesting like, story to share, or anything like that?
I think that probably the most important thing, that psychic satisfaction for me of angel investing, is twofold. One is the tremendous education I get. I've learned a lot about things that I knew nothing about before. I'm now trying to understand the potential applications of blockchain, because I'm looking at a company that is in the blockchain space. So there's this constant opportunity to learn, which I love. There's also a constant opportunity to give back, and I relish that too. I do mentoring here for Valley Venture Mentors. I do it in Cambridge for MIT. I do it at Mass Challenge. I do it on Martha's Vineyard, and sometimes I find myself in out-of-the-way places doing it. So I've worked with companies from all over the place. I've been working with a company in Vermont.
That's
wrong. So, you know, I get around. It's pretty much I'm doing it in what I think of as my backyard, which is New England. I haven't done anything in New Hampshire or Maine yet, but never know.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today and giving our listeners a little bit of understanding to angel investing and other ways of, you know, getting financing for their business. We really appreciate that. So thank you. If any of our listeners wish to learn more about angel investing and ways to finance their business, you can go to www.goldenseeds.com, or you can contact Kate Putnam at kputnam@me.com. Thank you so much for listening.